Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio, and this is Talk to Me, hosted by the one and the only, the most fantabulous, loveliest, wealthiest, and most jubilant sister in the world. That's right, my name is Minister Cherie Humphrey, and I'm the founder and president of Diamonds in the Rough, Finding the Spirit in Me, and the producer of A Star Is Born Talent Events and Talk to Me Media. Our motto is standing firm on the promises of God. I want to thank you so much for tuning back in. Tonight's topic, we are talking about defying death and tragedy. Now, I know everybody has to face death at some point or time in their life and have lost loved ones along the way before they get to their time and have gone through some type of tragedy in their life if they live long enough. So we're going to be talking about that. And the main thing is to just focus on what we have now, being grateful, being thankful. This is Thanksgiving week. And, you know, we should be thankful every day. But we're going to be celebrating holidays, God willing, family, friends, loved ones, and for those who can't, my heart goes out to you. I know exactly how you feel. But in any case, happy Thanksgiving to everyone on this week. Two weeks ago, we couldn't proceed with the show because of some technical difficulties with the website that they fixed. And so we had to postpone the show. So Lanish Miller and Savanda Latrice will be coming on December the 4th. So please make sure you tune in. There's only two more episodes that I'm doing before the end of the year. So please make sure you tune in on the 4th. Thank you so much. If you love this show, if you think this show is beneficial, if you are led, please share this show with people, the link, and let them know that they can listen in that way. And, you know, sit back and enjoy. I'm going to give you a little background on the show. I have been doing this show for 13 and a half years, over 500 guests, over 200 episodes, and over 10,000 in listeners, reaching the U.S., Canada, Germany, Indonesia, Cameroon, Philippines, India, Ireland, Sweden, South Korea, Malaysia, Japan, Dominican Republic, South Africa, and Nigeria. And so I will talk about the past guests at the end of the show if I still have a voice. But in any case, I do have a surprise guest that's coming on tonight. There were a lot of changes that had to be made because I had certain people scheduled. So we have a wonderful, wonderful surprise guest that I consider to be like an aunt to me. And also, my mother, Avis Daniels, she'll be the last guest of tonight. And so I want to get into some scriptures. And we're talking about, you know, loss. And so I'm coming from Revelation 21, 2 through 4, and it says, "And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, God's home is now among his people, and he will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them.'" Bear with me. I hope, you know, all is well, because ambulances are going crazy out there tonight. And verse 4, it says, "He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever." And so, you know, when our loved ones pass, we like to think that everybody made it to heaven. But we know that is not the case. And I'm not going to get into the, you know, logistics of that and the background and all of that. But we know that the way to heaven is through Christ Jesus. So, you know, we want to think that because it eases our mind, you know, the posting on social media, the happy heavenly birthdays and things of that nature. And I don't want to offend nobody, but truth is truth. You know, once a person leaves their body, you know, absent to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And, you know, for those who live that life and gave their life over to Christ. And so that is the truth in the matter. And, you know, hopefully when people pass, you know, that gives an opportunity for someone who is present at a memorial service or at a funeral to give their life over to Christ and start a new leaf, you know, turn over a new leaf and get on the good foot, as they so call it, and start afresh with God, be reborn. And so, you know, I am going to talk about condolences, but the scriptures that I'm becoming from is moving on after tragedy. And Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." John 14:1 says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am going, you may be also. And you know that the way to where I am going, Jesus Christ is the way." In Isaiah 40:31, it says, "But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." That is one of my favorite scriptures. You know, just one of my favorites. The next one says, Isaiah 41:13, "For I, the Lord God, hold your right hand. It is also I who say to you, fear not, I am the one who helps you." Romans 8:38-9 says, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." And so I love that one too. I do have a song that I want to play about that in particular, and I'm going to play that. I just want to let people know, anyone who has lost a loved one in this terrible war between Israel and Hamas, you know, my heart goes out to you, and I'm so sorry for your loss. And it is a tragedy to see all the children losing their lives, babies, you know, and it's just so disturbing to me. And just to know that I was right there back in July is even more disturbing. I don't even like watching it on the TV, on the news. I really don't. My condolences go out to Lisa Cannon and Ron Thomas for the loss of their daughter, Avis. I'm not sure if it was on this week or last week. She's my mom's friend from high school. And, you know, Lisa told her she would name her daughter after her when she had a baby, and she did that. Avis was around my age, I believe. I hadn't seen her in many, many years. Today I learned my ex-boyfriend Mark Mazador, mom died, and my heart condolences go out to him and his family. It's just so funny because, you know, Mark is really, really has a beautiful wife, family, and has been doing extraordinary things. It's just so saddened because of that, because, you know, me and Mark dated like back when we were in, I think, high school and, you know, right before I went to college and, you know, just never, you know, you never think about your parents going unless they do go, like my father when he went. But anyway, I recently found out that Wendell B. passed away in August. He was 65. He was on my show twice. And I was, you know, they called him the soul balladeer, beautiful, beautiful voice. I mean, just the lovely words that came out from most of the songs that I've heard him sing. And he just was on my heart so bad I was playing his music. I didn't know, and I looked up his name, and I found that out. Two songs in particular that I love is Beautiful and Still Learning About Love. So I'm going to play two songs back to back, Nothing Can Separate Us, and then I'm going to play Still Learning by Wendell B. So let me see. Nothing Can Separate by Canton Jones.
I put this on everything, and you know that it's true, that it's me and you forever, and nothing can separate me from you, from you. And nothing can separate me from you, from you. Nothing can separate me from you. I put this on everything, and you know that it's true, that it's me and you forever, and nothing can separate me from you, from you. And nothing can separate me from you, from you. And nothing can separate me from you.
Lord, it's you that I betray. I would never betray or never go astray. thank you, Jesus, that you hear me when I pray. You always make a way.
And nothing can separate me from you. I put this on every time, and you know that it's true, that it's me and you forever. And nothing can separate me from you.
That was Canton Jones, Nothing Can Separate. And I'm going to play a little bit of Wendell B., God Rest His Soul, Still Learning About Love, one of my favorites that he sings with some of the fellas. I think it's Magic One, Jason Little, and someone named CJ.
All right. Man, one of y'all got a road to get me, man. She on me tripping, you dig? Hey, Curtis, get him on the line. What up, Kurt? What it do, Wiz? Man. Hey, y'all grab one and meet me at the spot. She be tripping about the late hours I be coming me. Yeah. I got a habit of running around staying too late with my friends.
What?
Now ain't nobody gonna tell me, June, what the hell I'm supposed to do.
Supposed to do.
Hell no. She said we gave up that life when we took the vows, and we said I do. Damn, girl, I guess I'm sick. Learning about love. I gotta learn how to sacrifice for love. Baby, I'm so used to doing it, but now I'm learning about love. See, I've been known to stay out on the free. Yes, I have.
Now when the fellas be calling, I can't find the keys to my car.
Man, you seen my keys?
Tell me how you seen them.
She tell me take a look around, baby, they can't be too far.
But all the while she got screaming, why you won't stay home? You keep leaving me all alone. You need to lay your ass down there to me and tell me all night long. Can you hear the kids screaming for daddy? Daddy's stroking the street. Need to try to come maintain
what's underneath these sheets.
Damn girl, forgive me, baby.
I'm learning.
Ooh.
There you have it. That was a little snippet. You can find his music. It's on YouTube and some other places. And just enjoy it. They have a tribute for Wendell B. And it's just so wonderful, you know, the songs that they played in honor of him and the music that he's made. Now, I do want to say thank you to everyone who voted for me. There are some other people that I didn't mention on the Facebook, which is Rob Chappelle, Arvita Tyson, Rita Gross, Aisha Fabian, Christine, my surprise guest, Yo-Yo, I call Yo-Yo, Johanna, so many people that helped, my mother, my sister Andrea, my sister Tasha. A lot of people. So I'm just going to say thank you to everyone. I know that I was third when it ended. So I don't know, but other people may, you know, one person may advance to the next round, which is the quarterfinals. So that means there's a long way to go before that thing ends. So Blessings to everyone that participated. I do want to say happy birthday shout outs. There was shout out I wanted to say the last time I had the show, but we didn't have it. So if there's time, I'm going to go back some point during the show and say happy birthday. But shout outs go to Patrice Bard Living, Chisa Joy, Jackie Wilson, Nathan Humphreys Sr., Robert Drakes. I was on his radio show few years back, Jimmy Jordan, Sheena Bailey, who sang at my ordination, who is Pearl Bailey's granddaughter, Shakoya O'Banner, my cousin, Alberta J. Brown, Carissa Dow Rouse. She has donated her time, many events that I gave for Diamonds in the Rough for the children. Samuel D. Watson, who I sing in the McDonald's choir with, who's in New York, Erica McLean Nixon, Jawan Crawley, that used to go to my former church, and I believe he was Pastor Green's nephew, and a Star Diamond winner in one of my talent shows. Josephine Villa, my former cell leader at New Beginnings Church, Anthony E. Brown, Lachey Nicole, she was a guest on here, Ivan Whitaker, Amari Daniel Bay, my goddaughter and cousin Shawnee Shabazz, Carl Vanterpool Sr., who was my godfather. So happy birthday to everyone that just had a birthday and is having a birthday on this week. I don't have time to go to another song right now, but I do have my surprise guest who is waiting very patiently. Before I get to that, I did want to mention, you know, I have gone through many, many tragic and trauma situations in my life, all my life, basically. And, you know, there's no other way to put it. I'm not trying to have a pity party, but it is what it is. I'm telling you things that occurred in my life. I can't go through everything, of course, but, you know, I was involved in two accidents, truck accidents. I wasn't driving. One was in the end of 96. The other one was around 2003, and I wasn't driving then. Near-death experiences, you know, that were traumatic. Thank God I'm still here, I'm still alive, but I'm paying for the after effects of those accidents and other things, you know, wear and tear on my body that just occurred. So in any case, let me get a sip of some water here. I remember one time where I had another near-death experience. I was homeless at the time, living in my car. And this woman, she's like a auntie to me, and she would let me stay in her driveway so she could keep an eye on me. And I remember I was really, really sick, and I had bad cough that just didn't seem like it was going to go away. And I had a TV interview coming up with Gwen Edwards, as I would always do with her every year. And this time it was for my books, though, not the talent show. And I think it was my 14th time on her show and the last time I was on the show before the changes. But anyway, I knew I had a few days to get ready. So I was drinking this cough syrup like I was crazy. I was throwing up in the car. It was around 1:30 in the morning. I was, you know, snuggled up like a cocoon, you know, to keep myself warm. Some of the, you know, tricks and things that I did so that I could survive. And I remember throwing up in the garbage can in the car over and over again. And it felt just like death was hovering over me. And I just started praying real hard. You know, and my friend, who was actually the elder at my church, Elder Jeanette Gant, who is now Washington, she allowed me to come to her house like she would do periodically, and I stayed for a week this time, and she knew I had the TV show coming up, and so she said, come on. And so I would go over to her house. I will wash my clothes, wash my hair, wash, take a shower, and do my hair, and had to get dolled up for this show, be ready and be well enough so that when I got on Gwen's show, I wouldn't be coughing like a dog. So I did the show. By the time it aired, I was in a shelter for not long, though, but I was in a shelter watching myself on TV. And it just was sad and happy all at the same time because I looked like $1 million, but I actually did not have nowhere that I could call home at the time and lay my head down. So, you know, those are just some of the things that took place, you know. And I'm not going to take up too much more time because I do have my special guest that is on right now. I'm going to play a little bit of I Like by Guy and just a snippet of it. And then I'm going to talk to my special guest. There you have it. That was I Like by Guy. You are listening to Cherie Humphrey of Diamonds in the Rough's Talk to Me Radio. I'm about to plug my surprise guest in. Her name is Maris Goldstone. She's like my auntie, I feel. She's been there for me sometimes more than any family member has been there for me. And I met her when I was on the radio with Connie Johnson as her assistant producer, and they were coming in to be interviewed, her and her husband. So I'm going to plug her in right now. Hello.
Hello. Hello, Cherie.
Hi.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Yes, no problem.
It's a pleasure. I'm interested in your talk about near-death experiences because I'll quickly share one of mine.
Okay.
I was a child, probably 8 years old, and my father had a loaner car because our car was always breaking down, and he was dropping me off in downtown New Haven for me to go to a dance lesson, and he pulled up into the lane next to the bus lane, and to let me out, I opened the door just as a bus was flying through the bus lane, and it crushed the door to from a door-sized door to about 2 inches wide, and if I had stepped out 1 second earlier, that would have been me. So I'm glad here to talk to you on your show.
Yes, yes. And, you know, Maris, you know, you have been a blessing in my life. I thank God that I was introduced to you and your husband on 88.5. I think that was the radio show with Connie. I can't even remember. And you have supported Diamonds in the Rough when I was given events. You helped support me when I was, didn't have a home to call home and was just displaced, just hopping place to place, you know, like a gypsy, because I had nowhere to go. And I appreciate you so much, and I thank you so much for all you've done in my life. You even was voting for me with this Fab Over 40, you know, and so I just want you to know that. I'm glad you are here, too.
Well, thank you, Connie. Thank you, Sheree. Yeah. No,
that's all right. Connie must be listening. Maybe she's listening.
Yeah, right. Hope so. Yeah, no, we go back a long way now.
Yes,
and if I've made any difference for you, it makes me happy.
Thank you. Thank you. And I know everybody has tragedy in their life at some point, you know, loss of a loved one, along those, you know, lines, you know, if you live long enough, you know, even if you don't, you know, things happen, unfortunately.
Right.
And we can't control when we leave. You know, that's something that is definitely not in our control, because when it's not your time, it's not your time. You can see by the accident that did not happen with you and the truck accidents that I was in, you know, along
mm-hmm.
with a whole list of other stuff, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
And so how did you overcome loss? Because you never forget the person. They always are in your heart. So
exactly.
You
well, mm-hmm. This was my son that Sheree is talking about. And people like in the beginning thought like I was being so strong. And, you know, I was strong in a way. It was horrible, you know, one of the worst things we've ever been through. And every day when I think about my son, it's excruciating. But I just felt like it wasn't just about me. It was about the whole family. And it wasn't about me turning inward to myself and grieving. It was about all of us. And I don't know if that makes sense, but, you know, we had to be there for each other. You didn't have the luxury of folding up and, you know, just, you know, curling up in a ball. You don't have that luxury, or at least I didn't.
No, you don't.
And I didn't even want to. And, you know, I have to say the person who really got me through was my husband. He would probably say I'm the one who got him through, but... you know, he definitely kept me going. And we grieved together and with our children and grandchildren. It's not easy. And we miss him all the time. He was a wonderful, wonderful, not just because he was our son, but everyone who knew him, just a wonderful human being. And we miss him all the time. It's been 5 years now. And, you know, you realize the earth keeps turning and time keeps passing and things aren't all going to stand still, and you have to move along with it. So, I mean, I think that's the best way I can explain it to you. But it's not
Absolutely.
Easy. We had the news on, and there was this, I don't know what town it was, I didn't catch the whole clip, but this woman in her 40s who has lost two sons to gun violence. And I'm thinking, wow, that, you know, that is so heavy, that really horrible, you know, just
yes,
horrible. So, yeah,
yes, it
there
is.
Are a lot of people suffering the loss of, you know, a child, and, you know, other loved ones, of course. But you don't have a lot of options. Here's your choices. You pick yourself up and you keep going the best you can, you know, or you close up. And I do know someone who lost a son, a former colleague of mine, and she's never gotten over it. And she doesn't want to see people. She doesn't want to engage. And, you know, I feel terrible for her, but everyone grieves in their own way.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And that's another point I wanted to get to. Everyone does grieve in their own way, and it does. There's no set time limit. You know, some people have to go through other things in order for them to heal. But healing is possible. Is that correct?
I would agree with that. I mean, it's always there, but it is possible.
Right.
It is possible to, you know, we're happy. You know, our days are happy. You know, we have things happen like everyone else, aggravations and this and that. But, you know, it's not like we're, like, permanently unhappy. And you just, you don't want to be like that. You know, life is too short. So
absolutely. And, you know, I mean, I've had a lot of loss in my life. You know, all my grandmothers, my father when I was 13, you know, different ones, you know, who were close to me, like a best friend. Well, they were my best friend, Coco Melvin.
Yeah, I've had
Prophetess
that too.
And,
dear friends,
Right. And it's a part of life. You know, I thought I would never, ever get over my great-grandmother's death because she raised me. And I was her baby. And, you know, it hit me so hard. I cried every single day, just crying profusely, just, you know, knots coming out, everything. I was on my knees a lot of the time praying to God to take the pain away because I didn't know what to do with the pain.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And so, you know, but
I'd
thank
you. You know, you probably felt so alone then. Me, I had my husband, and that's a huge difference. You were young, and you probably felt very alone.
I did. But, you know,
not easy.
I remember her. It's the good memories. And what was you going to say?
That's good. Just because you were alone, that was your mother figure. And that's a whole different level of being abandoned, being alone. You know, where do I go now? What do I do? And you survived it somehow.
Yes. It took a lot of crying, a lot of praying. And I'm gonna admit, I did other things to try to cope. I drank a lot, you know, and then I stopped, you know, once I healed from it. And then, you know, my anchor was Renee. And you know, when she died, it was like I was back at square one again because everybody was dying all in the same time frame. You know, my aunt, you know, it was just crazy. But sometimes it's like that, you know. But, you know, I appreciate, you know, you coming on to talk about your experience quickly because, you know, there's a lot of changes I had to make for this show. But
I know. Yeah, things were up in the air. A lot of phone issues and miscommunications, but we're here together.
Yes, we are. Well, yes, we are. And I thank you so much for calling in and definitely stay in touch and tell your husband I said hello and happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Well, thank you, Cherie, and the same to you. And you are a survivor. I had one thing that I'm far more impressed with people who survive adversity than with people who are fabulous and doing great things because they've had every advantage and really haven't had any big tragedies to deal with. I'm far more impressed with people like you who are true survivors.
Yes. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. By the grace of God. I love you, Auntie. Bye-bye.
Oh, you're a sweetheart, Cherie. Thank you. I love you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There you have it. That was Maris Goldstone, who shared a little bit about her life and her testimony. Before I bring my mother on, I'm going to go to one of her favorite songs, and announcements will be at the end as well, so that I can start this interview with my mom. She loves this song by a lady named Anita, 1979. I was 8 years old. It's called Ring My Bell. There you have it. That was Ring My Bell by Anita. Anita Wars, actually, 1979. And I used to love that song as well. You are listening to Sheree Humphrey of Diamonds in the Rough Talk to Me Radio. And I am about to plug my next guest in, my mom, Avis Daniels. Hello?
Hello. How you doing, sweetheart?
Hi. How you doing, Ma?
I'm doing okay, honey. Yes, my name is Anita C. Daniels. My maiden name, for people who know me, is Rush.
Right. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And Ma, we're talking about on this show, as I told you, loss and tragedy and defying death. But nobody really defies death unless they give their soul to Christ and they are reborn.
Right.
And when that body dies, they're going to heaven, and going to be called up. So, we all have a date and a time, and we don't know what that is. So
we
want to be grateful and thankful for what we do have left. But talk to me a little bit about, some of the people that you've lost in your life.
Oh, I lost quite a bit of people. First of all, I lost my baby brother in 1997. I don't remember the rate of the month or anything, but his name was Isaac Jerome Jr., Rush Jr.
Right.
And he died from AIDS. He died from AIDS. And it was a tragedy for us, And it was very hurtful to me because that was my only brother, So my mother was very close to him. And I think that's why she couldn't take no more after my other sister, Shonda, passed away in 1991 from a car accident. It was a tragedy, a very tragic car accident. And I was on my job, and my sister, baby sister Anita, called me, and I didn't want to believe it. And, I mean, it just, seemed like my whole body just started burning on fire, And I just couldn't believe it. Yeah, I couldn't really believe
yeah.
it. So I think someone
right.
in my family, came pick me up, or I might have drove home. And but I don't know how I made it home. But I mean, I know how I made it home. I made it by home by the grace of God. You know, that's why
right.
that's why I made it home. You know, because he
right.
knew that I'm a strong person, and I
mm-hmm.
had to be for all the tragedies I went through. You know, so
yes.
anyway, my mother died a year after my brother did, and she died in 1998. And her name was Dorothy
yeah,
Lee.
That.
Yeah, Dorothy Lee Rush was her maiden name, and she became a Johnson twice.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So anyway, but her maiden name also was Johnson before she got married. But it went
before
back to Johnson
yep.
again. Yeah, before she
yep.
died.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, she died of breast cancer, and that was a tragedy for me too, because she was in
right.
one of them what they call convalescent homes, and
yes.
she was in that, and me and my husband was out of town, Stephen, and so we went out of town, and then when I got the call, you know, I just couldn't believe it that she had passed away, and I mean,
right.
I said like I just started like my whole demeanor just dropped when I found out that my mother had passed away. You know,
I was in the room, Ma.
Oh, I know
I
you
was
were.
In the room.
I know you were.
Yeah, with
yep,
Grandma and Kiki, when she took her last breath left her, I was right there.
That's
how looking
you sure
at
was.
It.
You, I think I'm glad that y'all were there. I'm glad somebody was there with her. You know.
Yeah.
And maybe God
yeah.
didn't want me to be there with my mother because He knew I was very close to her, and I probably would have. I don't know what I would have done. You know.
Right.
So maybe everything happens for a reason. Well, we can't
absolutely.
Explain it, but that's what happens sometimes. You know. So
right.
anyway,
right.
The reason why I took it bad for her, because when I was at the grave site, y'all thought I was going to jump into the grave, you know, with my mother, the casket, you know, because I was
mm-hmm.
leaning over and I was just like wailing and just crying. And my brother's not too far from where my mother's buried. And
okay.
that's in the Bridgeport Cemetery.
And Izita Omita.
Now, I don't remember the year that she passed away, because Izita
was
wasn't
17.
Really around like that. Do you remember?
Yeah, I was 17. Yeah, I was.
Okay.
If I was 17, that means it was 1988.
Okay, 1988.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
yeah,
I know it was somewhere
it
in the 80s, but I didn't remember the exact date because Izita wasn't around us that much like that, you know, when
right.
she got when she became an adult. So, because she was
right.
married, too, you know, to George
yeah.
Plummer. And
mm-hmm.
I think she was, like, back and forth from New York to Stanford and stuff like that. And Izita was one of the sweetest ones. And
Izita
right. had so much compassion and love for people, you know.
Yes, I love that. Mm-hmm. Was one of my, that was my favorite aunt, my first
yeah,
favorite aunt.
Yeah, you told me it
because,
was. You told me my sister Izita was your favorite aunt.
Yeah, because
yep.
she used to, when she did come home, and we all lived in the village in 111 on the first
yes,
floor.
We did.
She would pull
yep.
the stereo outside, and we'd be dancing, me, Michael, and, you
no,
know.
Okay.
Or, yeah, Isaac was like 10 years older than me or 8 years older than me.
Oh,
so he
all right,
was like,
okay.
yeah, he wasn't even that much older than I was. So,
oh, okay.
you know, and she always
yeah, because you and Michael's
jewelry.
Only 11 months apart. You and Michael, little Michael, well, I call him little Michael, but he's only like 11 months apart from you.
Yeah, yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah.
And what about Onita?
Onita died in 2003. She died from breast cancer
yes.
too, but hers was what they call them? That's in your armpits. I'm trying to think what they call
right.
it. And she died. I think that's worse than what my mother had. My mother lived 10 years with hers. I think my mother was 59, getting ready to turn 60, and my sister Onita, she was 43. And she died within 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, she was 43.
Was young.
So, yeah, so she was 40 years old when she first was detected with cancer. And
right.
lip notes, that's what they call lip notes. And they said that's worse than regular breast cancer. You know? So,
yeah.
And I remember going to see her, and I remember that one, the next week, I was supposed to go back to see her, but something came up, had to do with my family and stuff, you know, with the kids and stuff, you know, and so I couldn't go. So that was the day that she passed away, you know, because she died on Chandra's birthday, and Chandra's birthday was November 3rd, and Chandra died in 1991 in a car accident, a tragedy. So she, Chandra's birthday was November 3rd, and Onita died on Chandra's birthday.
Right.
That's when she passed away. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And it was bad, though. When I went to see my sister Onita, and I saw her in that condition, oh, my God, I wanted to cry. And it felt like someone just, like, took a part from me, like somebody just put something through my heart or something, because I just, like, I was overwhelmed. And I can feel it when I get like that, and how it just seemed like my body started burning. And I said, oh, my God.
Okay.
And I didn't want to show no, you know, like, to her, tears in my eyes. When I left, I had to cry, you know?
Right.
I didn't want her to be saddened and make it worse for her. So that's why I didn't let her see me cry.
Right. And the thing about it is that year, Granddaddy died the beginning of 2003. And
yes,
then it was Grandma Susie, great-grandma Susie, who I was talking about with Maris.
Uh-huh.
That was like my mom because she raised me. For the most part, she raised me for, you know, the most years of my life after I was living with you. And then it was Onita. No, it was Tammy's mother passed away. That's what happened.
Oh, I remember, because we went to the
And
funeral.
Then Onita passed. It was a lot in 2003.
That year. Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
So that was terrible.
Yeah, it was. And so many tragedies happened in our family. And then 3 years later, Steve passed away, my husband Steve. And I couldn't believe it either. He had stomach cancer. So it was just bad, you know, a lot of cancer. And I just thank God every day. And I just pray that God just put, you know, keep anointing on me, keep his hands on me, and keep me in good health, which I know I got to do things that I know what I have to do because I have to lose weight. The doctor told me already that I have to take weight off, so I already know what I have to do because I did it before quite a few times.
Yeah, you have,
so
many times.
Mm-hmm, many times. So I know what I have to do.
And then in 2020 with the COVID, you know, Sean was living with y'all and Andrea's
passed away. Yeah, he did. So it was a lot of things back to back.
So, Mom, question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you were the oldest out of all your siblings and stuff like that. And, you know, I know it had to be extremely hard to cope to know that nobody was left.
You know,
far as, you know, the immediate family and, you know, family functions was stopped and things were not
all
the same.
Stopped. No, it wasn't.
You know.
Because Grandma Susie was the one that kept it going.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you get through it? Because you never forget. You still love the person.
No. I remember every time when them dates come. I remember. You know, and I have tears in my eyes. And I said, oh, I love you, sis, and I wish that you were here. I tell all my sisters and my brother, I wish they were here to talk with me so I can have a sister to talk to or a brother, you know?
Right.
And
it
doesn't, it's not that way because it's not the same. And I wish that my kids, you know, because they grew up around my sisters but the only one I think they really wasn't around really was really Isaac and Azita.
Well,
and
I was around them, so it impacted me a lot.
Yes, I know
because,
it did. I know it did.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was in college when Chandra died.
Yeah, you were. You were. And but you know that. No, that's okay. You know how I was able to cope with it because I prayed and God got me through it. And that's the only reason why I was able to get through it. If I didn't know God like I did and some of the things I did growing up, you know, my mother had instilled in us to be in church every Sunday. And we used to have to go to noonday prayer. And then we had to go to night service every day of the week. But I heard doing all that, and I thank God, God rest her soul, you know, that she's laying in peace and she's watching over me and my kids and everything. And my grandkids, because she instilled that in us. And so by her doing that, if I didn't know that, I probably wouldn't have been able to gotten through all this.
Because Grandma had us in church, like you said, almost every single day.
Yes,
like,
she did.
That's all I remember, like, you know, is Grandma dragging everybody to church.
Oh, yeah,
that was
she
in
did.
The house.
She didn't play that. She didn't play that shit. You going to church. But I think when I got pregnant with you, I stayed home because, you know, I had gained weight and everything, and I didn't want to be around a lot of people like that. My mother didn't make me go. She said, okay, as long as you stay home and you're taking care of the baby and everything, which I did. And let me tell you, one time I overslept on a Sunday, and my mother was supposed to be coming home after church, and she wanted that meal to be done. You talking about somebody move fast? I was so nervous and scared, and I said, oh, my God, Mommy's going to be coming home soon, you know, from church. My brothers and sisters, they're going to be coming home from church. I heard them whip that food together, and when my mother walked in that door, that dinner was done.
Okay. Grandma didn't play.
Well,
everybody had to eat at the same table.
No, she didn't.
You had to pray together.
Yes, she did.
You know. And if anybody messed with any of us, she was running out the house with a butcher knife.
Yes,
that's
she was.
What I
yes,
remember.
She was. Oh, yeah. Yes, she was.
She might have prayed, but she sure had a knife in her hand when
yes,
she was running out the house.
She was protecting her family. Yep. That's what she was doing. Yep. Oh, my God. I remember the incident that my mother, because some girl in school, that's when I went to Ryle School, because, you know, I lived with Grandma and Granddaddy, when I came through the age of three from Charlottesville, Virginia. And they were still down south. So when I came here to live with them, this the girl, I would think I was in kindergarten, she said something, called my mother, Mother F, I don't know what it was. She called my mother a terrible name and said something about my mother. And you talking about somebody flipped his grid? I whooped that little girl butt so bad, and I was busting her head into the cement. You know, the tar payment or whatever. And two guys had to pull me off. Yep. Two guys had to pull me off that girl. That girl ain't never said nothing to me again after that. She ain't never said nothing about my mother or anything. And then she thought I was serious.
Right.
But I never was a fighter, though. I never was a fighter anyway.
No, you weren't. You took a lot.
I don't think I
could have taken as much as you.
Yeah.
I would have been under the jail if I had to be you.
I know. I'm not that nice. Yes, I did. Maybe it wasn't for my spirit.
Nice.
Yeah, if it wasn't for my spirit and being a people person, I don't think I would have been able to handle it.
Right.
You know,
I
just pray to God about it. Yes.
Yeah, and that's one thing I hate, injustice. I hate people being taken advantage of. I hate people being talked down to like they're ignorant.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes I just sit back and just let people talk and think what they want to think, you know.
Just
by looking, you know, people think, oh, you're so ignorant or you're so sweet.
Oh, yeah, it's not that you're
ignorant. They can say
you
what they
want
to say to you.
You
want to
keep peace. That's why you do it.
Yeah.
For peace.
Exactly.
You know?
You know,
because you know,
and,
if you did do something, you'd be in the jail, like you said.
Yes, and I have been, so I've learned my lesson.
So you know, that's right. You know. Oh God! Well, see, if it wasn't for me having the spirit that I did, I would have probably been in jail too. But thank God I didn't, and I ain't never been in jail.
Yeah.
So, you know, so thank God. Yeah.
And you never really was a drinker. You didn't use, you know, those negative things. All I remember from day one, when I moved in with you, when I was around five is you working like a dog. That's the one thing that sticks out for me. Yeah. And do you think that you use that as a way of coping and getting through all of the things that you had to deal with?
Yeah, I think some of it was because of that, and I just kept working. And I always believed in family, you know, providing for my family. So that's why I worked the way I did.
And, you know, friends be like, dang over here, dang on your mama, running, you know.
I can run away all the time.
Yes, and I used to be so embarrassed, but
I know I was in good shape. I was in good shape back then.
Yeah, but I shouldn't have been embarrassed because at least you had a job, and you know, and you worked that job for how many years at the post office?
Well, actually, it was 37 and a half years, but I just always say 38. Or sometimes people would ask me because I just round it off, but it was 37 and a half years.
Right.
You know. So. And thank God I started at the age of 17 in the post office in 1973 when I graduated from high school. Yep.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then the next year I turned 18.
The what?
I said, in the next day I turned 18. I turned 18 the next day.
Yeah, I still got the picture with of me when I was two with your cap and gown on.
Oh, yeah, you sure did have it on. I know, I said, God rest his soul, too. The young man that he had a crush on me, he was the one that walked me down outside when we were walking around the field. He's the one that was my partner to walk with me, Eugene Taylor. And I said, God rest his soul. And he was a beautiful person, too. And he had a crush on me. Well, what guy didn't have a crush on me? You know, I had so many guys, no matter
where I went,
they was always after me.
Yeah, and I was trying to be the guard, the protector.
Yeah,
I thought I could fight a grown man at five, but I couldn't.
I know you did. And so did my your brother, Steven. Steven did the same thing. He didn't like no man to touch me.
Right. Right.
He was mad. Don't touch my mama.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Now, big as Stevie is and, you know, being a professional bodybuilder, he's not going to let nobody touch you. And
oh,
so,
he ain't let nobody touch
you. Know,
that's for sure.
So, exactly. So, Mom, like, what would you say to people that are suffering from a loss? I just found out one of my ex-boyfriend's mom died. Today.
I'm so sorry.
I think it was today or yesterday. I don't know. What would you say to people that, you know, are facing, because this is around the season, you know, that sometimes more people seem to pass away than not. And, what would you say to people to help them get through?
Well, I would say one thing is to be grounded in the word. And for you to know, to get to know God, you know, because Jesus is the one that you have to go through to be delivered from anything. So, and it was good to have people in your family that can support you, and which I had a lot of people in my family that supported me, you know, and that was around me all the time, you know. So, y'all gave me a lot of encouragement too, you know, and I know I had to live for my children. And then now for my grandkids.
You got a whole bunch of them.
Yeah, I got a whole bunch. I got 17 grandchildren. They're all over. Ooh, that's what keeps me going.
And none of them is mine. I got 17 nieces and nephews.
I know. That's right, because my sister Andre, she got four kids. So I'm around them all the time. I've been around every one of their births. I've been there for them. And then also Steven, when he came up here, I think I was at two of his children's births. Little Steven, the third, and then I was at Seth, the baby. Well, actually, he's not the baby, he's next to the baby, because Caroline's afterwards. But it was Seth, and I went there to the hospital, and boy, it was a nervous thing. Oh, my God, we thought we were going to lose Seth. because it was some kind of stuff that happened when his mom was delivering him. And thank God we prayed and we cried. And boy, Stephen was so upset. He just cried and cried. And we said, Stephen's going to be all right because God's going to get you through. Seth, your baby's going to make it. And he did. So he's a miracle.
Yeah, he did. He did. Mm-hmm. He's a big boy now. But,
yes, he's a big boy now.
Yeah, and, you know, you lost your father as well, not just your grandma.
Oh, I lost my father, yeah,
but,
in 2019. You know, so I lost him. We went down to Richmond, Virginia, and Andre drove, you know, there and drove back. And
right.
I went to the funeral, but see, I didn't grow up with my real father, which y'all know that already. I didn't grow up with him.
Right.
But I tried to get to know him. But he was kind of like he wasn't a fighter either. And I think I might have got that from my dad. You know, he wasn't really the one for, like, the fight. Any kind of confrontation, he would avoid it. And he didn't want to be around it, you know.
Right.
And
And
Auntie Tiz got to know him a little bit because for 5 years in a row, we went to Richmond, Virginia. And then we made a big vacation of it and went to a park that was down there in Virginia.
Well,
you know,
the reason how you got to know him those years and,
because
you know,
of you.
It took, yeah.
And because
my,
of you.
And,
if it wasn't for you, I would never have met my father.
Right, right. And I felt that was something that was needed because you had lost so many people in your life. And that you know, if he had been the man that he should have been and been in your life, not just the daughter that he had living with him years later, that things would have been different for you, and therefore they would have been different for us.
Oh,
so,
yeah, it would have been. It would
you
have
know,
been.
Yeah. And Grandma Susie, my great-grandmother, I was working on a college project, and I said, Grandma, I need help to find my mother's father.
Yeah.
And we did the U.S. search. She had information that I didn't have because she was, you know, there when you were a little girl, and she knew names, you know.
Oh, yeah, she did. She had a
so
good memory.
She helped me. Now, I called him up. And I told him who I was, and I said, you need to get a relationship with your daughter because what is happening in her life is has affected her, but it also has affected us. So y'all need to talk because she needs to go through some healing, and you need to step up and be her father.
Oh, yeah. And you gave me the number,
and
I called him. Yeah, he did. But see, I called him and left a message. And then I told him, if you're a real man, Daddy, you would call me. I said, because I never grew up with you, but I do have that much right to get to know my father and know who you are, some kind of point in my life, because I've been through so much. So I said, I want to meet you. So he made arrangements with his wife. It was his second wife, and he made arrangements with her, and they both came up on a bus trip. I guess it had to do with AARP because they travel and use their benefits and everything. So he came up and was at a hotel, and I remember, and I think it was either extra 40 or something like that. But I was in my 40s when I met my dad.
Yeah, I wasn't there. I was in college in Ohio somewhere.
Mm-hmm. I think
DC.
I was in my early 40s
there.
Or middle 40s. Yeah, so Andre got a chance to meet him. She was the first one that met him in person.
Right.
Yeah, so he took me out to dinner, and I didn't even have to, because Steve was with me, and he said, Avis, I wonder where your father is. And I said, oh, that's my daddy. And I knew already because I look so much like my dad. People think I look like my mom. I look more like my dad than my mom.
Yeah, you did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. And and both of them were good looking
exactly
people.
Like him.
I sure did.
And
both,
exactly.
That's how my sister. I do have a living sister, but we don't have a relationship. And that was the only child.
Yeah,
so
you didn't
grow
up with her.
No, I didn't grow up with her. And she didn't want to.
And my thing is that I don't mean to cut you off, is that it takes two to have a relationship.
Oh, yeah,
and
it does.
You gotta. The person also has to reach out to you and want to be a part of your life. You just it
right.
can't. It, a relationship is not one sided, and if it
no,
is,
it
it's really not a relationship. So
no, it's
you
not.
Know, you tried. You did your part.
I tried. Yeah, I called her more than she called me. You know, and
right,
but it seemed like it didn't work out.
Yeah.
But I only went one time to her house, to, and I met her, and that's when I met my niece and my nephew. But I didn't have a relationship
right.
with them either. Because I don't think she wanted us to have a relationship with her or her family.
Right.
Well, because
right.
if she did, she would have made the effort.
Yes.
On her part.
And what
I tried the best
with her,
I could.
What happened with her was a tragedy. And so she
was,
just cut everybody
my nephew,
off.
Yeah, my nephew, he, from what I understand, he committed suicide.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So he was trying... He was trying to take that girl's life, the one that he, I guess he was just obsessed with her, madly in love with her. He couldn't accept that they had broke up.
Right.
You know, and she didn't want to have
so
anything to do with him, and he couldn't accept it.
Yeah, and I got a chance to meet Granddaddy, Grandpa, the first time.
Yeah.
And that was I think the first and only time.
Oh, yeah,
I got a chance to meet him, but if I had not lost everything, and if I had not been homeless and going
yeah.
to North Carolina to find a place to live, I would have never met.
Right.
And
no, you would never
met.
You
know. No, my girlfriend Savando just happened to be in Virginia and said, "You gonna come stay
wow.
at the hotel with me?"
Didn't that
happen? Yep. You
now
come
God
stay at the hotel
out.
With me.
Yep.
Yep, and I went and seen him.
Yes,
so
you did.
So it was, you know, it was crazy. But, you know, is there any last-minute things you...
Yeah, how did you feel about meeting my father? How did you feel like, you know, meeting my father? What did it make you feel like?
I was nervous, and I felt weird, and he didn't talk much.
He oh, no,
he
wasn't a talker.
In the corner... Mm-hmm. over there in the living room and
yeah,
listen.
He was an observer. He was an observer.
While,
he liked to observe people.
Yeah, while his wife did all the talking, but
oh, she always
he told
all the
me,
talking.
Yeah, and she told me, you know, he told me, you know, these, you know, the people in the pictures were family. And I
oh,
was
yeah.
like, these white people is family? I don't, I'm like,
yeah, that was
these people
family.
Look white.
Well, you know, when I was born, I looked like a almost. I was almost like a little white baby when I was born.
Right.
You know,
I know
I
that, but
baby.
I had never
yeah,
seen these pictures, Ma.
No,
I had
never
seen
them.
These pictures. So
no,
that was
I've
like
seen
a shocker to me.
Yeah, it was
huh?
a shock to me when I saw it. When I saw my dad's people, it was shocked to me. I said, well, this is where I get my color from. It's from his side of the family. And my mother, too. My mother was lighter than me.
Yeah, I know, Grandma, you know, was mostly Native American on her side.
Yeah.
And
well,
that's where the long...
Blackfoot and Cherokee.
Yeah.
And then
yes.
it's also
Black...
Portuguese. Portuguese, too.
Right. 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 So there's a lot of mixture, but we're ending the show as far as the interviews. So is there any last-minute things you want to say in regards to being grateful and thankful for what you have now?
Well, I really thank God from above that he made it possible that I have a beautiful family and my children and my grandchildren, and that's what makes my life keep me going. And if it wasn't for that, you know, I have so much to be grateful for. So that's why when I look forward to all the holidays, especially Thanksgiving, when all my family get together. And when they get together, it makes me so excited. And I don't always necessarily worry about the food. It's my family that I do. And I love being
right.
around them and talking to them and, you know, interacting with them. And then just talking about things in general, you know, which we do, you know?
Yeah, because once Stevie comes over with his children, his daughter, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, well, his children, excuse me, and that are up here, rather, because the other one's still
but the other
know,
four,
down south.
The other four is down in Arkansas.
Right. So the house is full because you got Andrea's and, you know, and then, you know, once we all there is, it's like a lot of people already. So
oh,
it's
yeah,
crazy
it
because
well, we gonna
everybody
have another
ain't even there.
Somebody else is going to be with us, too, for Thanksgiving. And he has two daughters. So it's going to be a full
yeah,
house.
Yeah, well, I ain't talking about that, Mom. What are you talking about? I'm talking about
I'm
family.
Saying, well, I'm no family. I was just talking about family, but there's some friends that are coming, too. You know, and
yeah, but I'm talking about family, like your grandkids. If Tasha was there with her children and all of Stevie's children were there, and, you know, the house, it would be... there would be nowhere for everybody to sit.
Yeah, it wouldn't be enough room. It sure wouldn't.
And
on,
you know,
it's a lot of
Andrea's kids. That, yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. But I'm grateful for that too, to be able to be around my nieces and nephews, and now
well,
that my brother's
because,
back home.
Yes.
Go ahead, Ma.
Okay, honey. Yeah.
Go ahead, Ma.
So anyway, yeah, that's true because. I really wanted and I prayed for him to come from Arkansas to come to Connecticut, and he eventually did, and I'm glad he did, and that he married a beautiful woman, Maria, you know, Maria Daniels, and she's so sweet, and she's Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's partly Spanish. I believe her mother is Italian. I think she's Italian, her mother. I think that's what it is. And she is so sweet. And I thank God to have a beautiful daughter-in-law. You know, and she go out of way.
I'm just glad that, you know, he has a family that is beautiful and, you know, that they love each other. And, you know, it's a healthy love and, you know, grateful to see my niece Caroline, who I had never met, and she's been a part of our lives for the past, what, 2 years?
Yeah, I think it's been 2 years. I think it's been 2 years.
3 years she's
think,
been up here.
Yeah, she's been up here. He's going on three, I think.
Yeah.
I believe it's going on 3 years.
Because Stevie had been going for 15 years, and a whole lifetime of things can happen in 15 years, you know.
Oh,
nobody
stays
the same in 15 years. At least they shouldn't.
I feel bad because he really wanted to meet Andre's fiance, and he never got a chance. He talked to him on the phone, but he never got a chance to meet him in person.
Wow.
And that's why he's so sad. And he kept saying, Stevie, drop everything. Come on up here. Be up here and visit us, you know. And Stevie kept saying, oh, I can't right now. And he said, well, I'm going to come up there. And I guess when he did come, it was after the fact.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I think he came the end
of
the year.
It was good talking to you, Ma. I have
you
to
too,
get
honey.
Off because the time is running out and the other things I have to address. But I thank you so much for calling in.
Yes.
I love you. God bless.
I love
be
you
seeing
too.
Seeing you this week. God
oh, yeah,
willing.
You know you're going to be seeing me anyway.
Oh, my God. I just wish
it
the body would make
show.
Pulled pork or chitlins.
Oh, yes, I know. But see, I don't eat that stuff no more. I don't eat no chitlins.
Mm-hmm.
I don't eat none of them. Pork I do, but not no chitlins.
Yeah, pulled pork. What do you call it? What's the name of the dish? I don't remember. Anyway.
Oh,
huh?
Oh, you talking Spanish, the Spanish food?
No. I'm talking about country, home cooking I was brought up on.
Oh, yeah. My mother's cooking, yep. She, you know, she had a lot of different things that she cooked.
Yeah, banana bread. What's the other stuff?
Well, Andre makes banana bread. She makes banana bread.
Good, yeah. And Grandma Humphrey would make carrot cake. And,
she did.
Her greens. She'd make the
blueberry
homemade
dumpling.
Tea.
She had blueberry dumplings.
Yeah.
I remember going to bed all the time eating them dumplings.
Yes.
And they
were
so
I mean,
good.
I like Spanish food, but I'm talking about food I'm used to having on Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. Soul food.
Yeah. Soul food,
that's what
exactly.
Andre cooks soul
right.
food.
Yes, and she cook it good. She yes, sure knows what she's doing. So let me go, yeah. Ma. I got 10 minutes left. All
okay,
right.
Sweetie.
Love you.
I love you.
Talk
and have a blessed
you.
Night.
Okay.
And thank you, everybody.
You
have a beautiful Thanksgiving.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There you have it. That was my mom, Avis Daniels. I couldn't be the host that I normally would be for a guest because, you know, when it's your mom, you know, you know. but I love her, and I wanted to get her perspective on, you know, getting through death and tragedy. But I am going to quickly play a song called Get Ready by Virtue and come back and do the salvation prayer really quickly and go from there. Get Ready by Virtue, and I'm going to read the prayer for salvation for people who want to give their life over to Christ and they haven't done so yet. It's best that when you do this, you do it openly in front of someone, you know, like someone who's a seasoned Christian, a pastor, minister, apostle, someone that you know would understand. And how to lead you and guide you into the next step. Romans 10, 9 through 11 in the New Living Translation says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. And so once you're saved, it's a work in progress. Everything's not going to turn peachy keen and, you know, wonderful in your life. That's a misconception that people get wrong. And being a Christian takes work. It's not like an easy, especially if you come from a hard life. You know, so you need somebody that's going to be there with you to give you a better, you know, help you through, get you a better understanding, and most of all, to love on you. Because if I didn't have people loving on me, I would have never came back to Christ. You know, I got saved at 9, baptized, all that, joined the church, started paying tithes at 12, but I would have never came back to Christ after I lost everything that I had the first time. Because it happened 3 times, but the first time, I would have never came back to Christ. Being at the time with the things that I was struggling with, it was love that brought me in, okay? So get around somebody that's going to love on you and show you, help show you the way. I am going to play another song real quick called Heaven by Jazz Masters. And this is such a beautiful, beautiful song. I've been loving this song since the 90s. See, I just get lost in the music. But if you want to continue to listen, you can. I am going to do some announcements, and I'm going to read the birthdays from 2 weeks ago. Donations. If you'd like to give to myself or Diamonds in the Rough, you can do so. All the information is up there. You can also give by buying my books or buying my artwork. They make great holiday gifts. Books you will not find in the school system dealing with real life issues, such as issues that I was dealing with, most of them, you know, and for people who have dealt with loss as a child and coming from a child's perspective. I know Maris talked about two sons being killed and what the mother had to, you know, more than likely was dealing with. Well, I have a book called Don't Hurt Me with Brutality. And this little boy talks about losing both his brothers. to gun violence. One to gun violence, one to police brutality. So there's so many different books that have different meanings. You can go to my website, www.ditrfindingthespiritinme.org, and you can read through some of those descriptions and then text me. Text me, inbox me. There are many forms of ways of payment. I do many things, and I'm not going to go through all of them tonight. If you would like to hire me as spoken word or whatever. In any case, birthday shout outs from 2 weeks ago was my uncle Leroy Frazier, Velda Spellman, Bishop Jason Shannon, Connie DeLong, my little niece Caroline, and my nephew TJ, and Jeanette, what does it say? Jeanette Amy Rodriguez, Charles E. Treadway, Elder Jeanette Green Washington, Marsha Humphrey, Winnie Birch, Jackson Wasson, Anthony T. Smith, Alicia Dempster, Terrence Kitchings, Keith, oh boy, I can't read my own writing, Keith Tugman, Chandra Frazier, Rashetta Joyner, Robin Clark, Pastor Dawn Snell, Tyrone Dunmore, a.k.a. Terrible T, who's been on the show before, Jay Trini Goring, Barbara Berry, Deshaun Daniels, Avis Barnwell, Deborah Parker, Lisa Mellers, Charles Askew, and Carolyn Vermont, who I was on the NAACP with years ago here in Bridgeport. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. I do want to read a little bit of the past guest. I may not make it to everyone, so I'm going to read the last page and the first page. And that's about it. Anthony Smith of Fully Committed, Nikki Rich of the Nikki Rich TV show, Tony Doc Hardy, Anthony Delavan, Derek O.C. Reed, Marlon Baker, Pookie Williams, Kareem Blue, Katrina Atkinson, Black Sav, Keisha Henderson, Jonathan Edwards, Angelique Jones, Priscilla Princess Jones, J. Ann Marie, Miss Jones, Steph Jones, Key Dollar, Maximilian in New York, Karen Jennings, Aisha Fabian, Enrique LeBron, Hype Man, his name is Wayne, Aldo, John Espo, Dre Romero, and then I'm just going to read the front page. Melba Moore, C.C. Pennington, J.J. Harrison, Christopher Williams, Bernard Jackson of Surface, Doobie Powell, Curtis Blow, Stacey Lattisaw Jackson, Lynn Jones, The Green Violinist, Tony Reg, Darren Cookie Moore, Calvin Richardson, Wendell B., J.D. Lawrence, Marcel, Lashley Davis, Richmond Punch, Carmichael the Music Lover, Isaac Zellner, Norman Tapping, Chris C. Clark, Mo Green, Monique Smith, Dre Romero, I think I said that, Spencer Camp, the legendary Yo-Yo, the legendary Donnell Jones, Special Ed, Davey Lozano, Randy Young, Nick Kelly, Nick Agneto, DJ Juan Kuhn, Michael Dunham, Benita Brooks, Ernest Brown, Tamar Caldwell, and Al Thomas. And there's two more shows for those who want to share their interview. Please do so. So far and all year, the people who have been in first place for their show has been Ernest E. Brown and Tamar Caldwell. So if you want to beat them and by the end of the year, you must share your interview with your friends and your family. There are so many that have graced this show. I'm grateful to have people on. Not only that, I do have my press credentials, had them for many years, interviewed people in other ways through media. So I'm grateful for that. And thank you so much for tuning in. I'm going to take us out with a little bit of He Cares by Men of Standard. Remember to tune in December the 4th, and I will have the ladies on to be interviewed on that day, God willing. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Oh, have me say, God.